from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who can warm it up, Chris, or cool it down. You know, it's like a warming blanket or a cool breeze. Why am I laughing? Because even these short, quippy intros are they get jumbled. That's how I do. That's how you say. Well, how, Scoots, how can you say warm and cool at the same time? Well, it's a jumble. You know, a jumble of words. It's got warm and cool right in there. Anyway, if it doesn't make sense to you, you're not the only one, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could just pay attention through the credits, these are the ways we keep the show a-going. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Hey, everybody. Between the intro and the show tonight, I'm going to be talking about our newest sponsor, Zola. It's a wedding company that'll do anything for love. It's reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. You know, and that's what Scoots wants for you. Holy cow. Stress-free, so you can enjoy your important day and leading up to it. From engagement to wedding to decorating your first home, Zola's there. They have compassionate customer service, modern tools and technology. To start your free wedding website and get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/sleep. I can feel you smiling, thinking about that important day. So get over there, zola.com/sleep, zola.com/sleep. Thanks. Hey, Mr. Bard, I heard it through the grapevine. You got a new album out, and you work very hard on the show with a bunch of other people. Could you respond to me in song, please?
Chris Posty Poster song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you'll really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thank Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Those are great places to follow me. If you're teaching people about the podcast or you're listening yourself, you could listen right in your smart speaker. All you have to say is a smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. And then you say smart speaker. I mean, each one has its own thingamajig, you know, but language. And then you say set a sleep timer for 90 minutes or whatever you prefer. And that's it. Another easy way to listen. I was trying to think of something funny to say. But you know, when it comes to smart speakers, they're the funny ones. Oh, boy. Really. Because I know one's listening. So let's get on with the show. What do you say? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble staying asleep, trouble getting to sleep? Or the other way around, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, so stuff that comes up that you're thinking about, or feelings you're experiencing emotionally or physically. Whatever it is, I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Those are creaky, dulcet tones, just in case, newer listeners say, because I'm not the best at pronunciation. So it's creaky, like a door, dulcet, sweet tone, some people say, I'm trying to think of someone like Bublé. I would believe someone like Bublé. Has a dulcet tones, or our own jazz singer on the show, the Silvertone. Oh, so I miss it. Well, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meander. So you just witnessed one when I was trying to went from creaky dulcet tones to a pointless meander to saying pointless meander. Superfluous tangents, unresolved metaphors. Holy cow. As someone said, misusing metaphors. Actually, that was a letter I got from the Greater Metaphorical Council. And then I said, okay, how do I read this letter, right? See, am I reading too much into this letter or not? So it took a few weeks of rereading and rereading. Here's an idea. I guess this is a quibble, just a piece of advice, metaphor account, councils of metaphors. I've gotten letters from them, metaphorical councils, check, other one, anything. If you're sending, if you are a council of metaphors, either way, or a metaphorical council, or associate metaphor, associations, believe me, I'm lumping you all together for this thing. When you contact me officially, send it to a third party. First of all, it'll definitely get my attention, but then I won't have to worry about unless you're sending it. You know what I mean? I think you know what I mean. I'm sure for the new listeners, they're like, "What is this person talking about?" But it's just really hard, especially with the amount of letters I get on behalf. That would be on behalf of the metaphor. Council, the Greater Omaha Metaphor Council. There's a Boise Association of Metaphor Enthusiasts. And I said, appreciate the letter, but holy cow, it's just really, because I figure, it's like if someone, here's a question, totally unrelated to this. New listeners, stick with me, please. Sorry. Here's a question for crossword fans. This is a straightforward question. Creation fans. So those of you that create crosswords. Also, if you're a fan of crosswords, I think it came out about 18 months ago. There's an illusionist episode about crosswords. Wonderful. And I'm excited to see Helen very soon live, hopefully twice in a row. Okay, but what was my point? Oh, I was wondering if you send, so if you write crosswords, do you send a lot of people letter, have you composed letters made of crosswords, love letters, letters of love, the different, agape love letters, more love letters, some filio, I guess it would be prayers. If you're, isn't agape the one, I bet you if whatever higher power you're sending a crossword based, love letter to, if I was a higher power, if I was a higher power, I probably would be able to, solve it. Normally I have dyslexia, so those are tough. But can you talk, seriously, if you're looking for some bonus points, just switch it up. Say, well, what are you doing over there, Janine? I'm writing my prayers. Writing your prayers? We don't write prayers in this home. What we do now? Well, that's not a prayer. That looks like you're doing a crossword. It is. I'm putting my prayer within a crossword. I'm sorry, what? That could only be a bonding moment. Even in a movie like Footloose, I think they'd say, wow, that's really a creative way to you really get it. Anyway, I guess my main question was, if you write crosswords, took me 4 minutes. If you write crosswords, do you send letters in crossword form? Because that's cool. I guess all I wanted to say is, if you do that, that is unbelievably cool. That's so cool. I just can't stop thinking about it now. Anyway, if you're a new listener, I went off. That was my second or fourth or fifth tangent in there. So let me just get back to you. I'm glad you're here. I'm trying to create a safe place to take your mind off of what's ever keeping you awake. This show is more than a bit different. It's goofy. You might already notice I don't make a whole lot of sense. And then I check out. I said, well, let me think. I can't stop thinking about that. Well, would you do it? Because, right, I know you're thinking the same thing. First of all, you probably need some sort of, do they do it on graph paper, freehand, or on a computer program? Or with a rule, a straight line, or one of those square rules, or whatever they're called, yeah. Compass, I wonder if, I think there are circular crosswords, that's a thing. I'm glad we're having this little talk, new listener, but let me just check in with these other new listeners, too. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Let me just give you a little orientation for the show. Structurally, the podcast starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free, and it's not super important if you're new, but that's why it's at the top of the show. Then we have an intro, which we're about 8 minutes into it already, which is pretty good, maybe 9. And the intros are normally around 12 to 14 to 16 minutes. And it's really a part of the show. I call it the intro. It might be a slow warm-up, a monologue. If there was a way to say super slow monologue that never takes off, really, I could just say it like that, a monologue. So, but here's the way listeners use the intro. Some listeners fall asleep during the intro. A lot of listeners use it as they're starting to wind down. Either they're prepping for bed, or they're in bed and, they're just getting comfortable. You gotta get your temperature. You want a nice long runway. Or some listeners do. Now, there's some listeners, you could skip ahead to 16, 18 minutes and you just get the intros. And there's some people that support the show on Patreon because they get story-only episodes. So you don't have to consume the intro, but ideally it becomes something familiar for the regular listener, but it's different every time. Because whatever I was just talking about before, I never talked. I'm pretty sure I just got a letter from a higher power that said, hey, great idea. Can't believe no one's... They said, there are instances, this particular higher power said, they were aware of other higher powers getting crossword-based prayers or communiques. You know, some of you may say, well, I just communicate with it. But this particular higher power said, never got a crossword-based communique. And I said, well, we'll change that together. Also, what kind of powers do you have that you could bestow on me? And, you know, just let me get you, can I get a no-smoting memo from you? Guaranteed 100% no-smote. Oh, they hung up the phone. So, okay, whoa, because I was talking to new listeners. So there's some new stuff in the intro every time. But it's also familiar, so you can say, ah, Scoots is here. It's like the show is kind of a bit like, for a lot of listeners, a bedtime story that's never gets started. But the bedtime story is still here if you can't fall asleep. Tonight we'll be talking about The Good Place. That's our second segment. So we do the intro, a little bit of business again tucked in there to keep the show going. Then I'll talk about The Good Place. And, you know, you see, mostly I'll be trying to decipher my notes from watching it. Then I'll look up some stuff. I say, well, Diane von Fostenberg. First, I'll try to go on YouTube and figure out how to properly pronounce that. Then I'll say, okay, let's do some research. So that'll be what The Good Place stuff is like. And all told, we'll be here for about an hour. Couple other things if you're new, especially if this is your first time listening, no pressure to like the show or to have it work for you. And of course you're skeptical or maybe even a little bit perturbed because this podcast is way, it's hard to prepare for it, right? Especially if you're new, you're saying, yeah, what in the heck? And I'd say, yeah, that's why almost every regular listener says it takes 2 or 3 tries to get used to the show or for it to put you to sleep. I mean, there are some people, you know, the people that we talked about that did send, the people that do send letters by crossword, they say, finally, we're getting our due here, and they're going to go into work tomorrow, believe me, with a spray, whatever, unless they slept through it, which is pretty high probability, but, you know, they'll have a spring in their step. They'll say, hey, Jerome, what's with that big smile? And they say, I told you I was cool. But you know, give me that spreadsheet. I'm ready. By the way, you look great. Or maybe they would send the person a crossword, you know, to keep that. Actually, they'd probably give encouragement instead of praise. So they'd say, how'd you change your hair up? I just can't, like, It really looks like you put a lot of decision-making into that and great, great decision-making. I'm not sure if that's encouragement. That's my attempt at this layers of imaginary characters in my brain. So, what was my point for the new listener? Sorry about that. Give it a few tries. Also, there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for an hour. The reason the shows are an hour and it has this like drawn out in super fun intro to sleep to, but that's also drawn out. And then me kind of talking about a 22-minute episode of The Good Place for about 45 minutes. So you have plenty of time to fall asleep. So there's no pressure on you. So that I can be here to keep you company. And because there are some listeners that for whatever reason can't fall asleep. And those are, you sleeping is really important. But anybody that can't sleep is super important to me. Because I want you to know I'm here to keep you company. It's really what my commitment is to keep you company, whether you're awake or asleep. And since I have to express it to you directly because I couldn't, you know, put it in a crossword. It would say four, Scoots, four down. There's no word that has a Q and a Z in it, in that. Oh, really? Shoot. You, no pressure to fall asleep and no pressure to listen. I think that part made itself apparent during this intro. You don't need to listen to me. You know, you could lower the volume to whatever volume works for you. And again, this doesn't work for everybody. The podcast just naturally, you know, there's different things for different people. So if you don't like the show or you don't think you're going to like it or you don't even want to give it another listen, that's cool too. But I'm here to help. That's my main thing. And the main reason I want to help is because I've been there. I know how it is, tossing and turning. I mean, clearly, you got a good idea what's going on with me. But also, if you're new, I want to thank you for checking the show out and giving it a try. and to let you know that I work very hard and I strive and I yearn because I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again. And here's a couple ways we keep the show going. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Okay, everybody, we're talking about episode, good question, Scoots. I think it's 12, season 3, episode 12, Chidi Sees the Time Knife, and it opens with walking through what we saw with the judge and the door person, a walkway, a little bit more detail. So we see some zeppelins or some blimps, pneumatic tubes, oh, possibly Hyperloop. I forgot to look up Hyperloop, though. There's no steam, so I wouldn't say it's a steampunk element. It's steampunk maybe adjacent. I don't know how to describe it, because there's these old globe streetlights. They seem to be kind of on a bridge over nothingness. Maybe, I don't know. It really cool set design. In the off season, I'll try to listen to the podcast so I can see kind of any details I can find out about that. The Good Place podcast. There's elevators moving fast up and down. Michael kind of talks about how the interdimensional hall of pancakes, the IHOP that we're going to, is like the Grand Central Station for space and time. Is something, Jason and Eleanor share a high five on an IHOP thing. Jason says, Michael is in a, he's a good place, bad place, bow tie and stuff. Again, I guess I'm looking forward to listening to the Good Place podcast again, or maybe not, because it'll give me too much information of why he changes suits and stuff. I just find it interesting, though. Great for this podcast. And a bunch of background nuggets in this one for me to spot. Post-life writing. Oh, so there's like the kind of whatever the cryptographic writing or language they use in the post-life writing. That's what I call it. It's on the door, which the door doesn't open as so much as it dematerializes. He's a little slow to go through it. He doesn't want to go. Michael gives him the old option one, and they get into a surreal world, the 10th dimension, where Michael says, oh, they added a 10th dimension. Yeah, you added, looks like, This is great Tahani stuff. She says, it looks like we're on a Diane von Fostenberg pattern. And then like she goes, it was from spring 2013 collection. I don't know what that last thing says. Maybe old-fashioned, maybe, because it looks like it says fast lane. Jason mentions this, maybe from too much salvia, which for a dyslexic, like anytime I tried to type it or write it out during the writing of this episode, it like makes me think of saliva. Even when I was Googling it, I'm like, it's not going to come up, but saliva's going to come up. And again, staring at it, I say salvia, that's easy, salvia. It's also a road named after the most famous sales in the world. Also, if Sal Castaneda, that's my local weather person, that would be where he lives. Where do you live? I live on Salvia. So saliva, saliva. So saliva, maybe. Chidi 38, I don't know what that means. Oh, chapter 38, that's the episode. I'm already like a few minutes behind the episode here. Jason and Janet have a nice little talk. Really good, like a really nice one. A lot of good puns in there. Talking about no time like the present. He says, I wish some of these things I could even say in the podcast. Jason says he's catching feelings, and then he says double dice, but he uses a different term, single dice, though. Date, so they set up a date, actually, or a potential to go on a date, and there's even more puns in there, because the date is set kind of with puns, so then the judge comes back. I don't think I've given Maya Rudolph her due. So we will touch on that later, but what a wonderful screen presence and comedian, actress, and just perfect casting for the judge. Just when we need it, and especially for this episode, carrying it through. Judge arrives. She's not happy with Michael. She says she likes sexy male person Chidi. I wonder if she's seen shirtless Chidi, because I don't know if she if she saw a shirtless Chidi on Earth in Sprinklers, she'd be have a human experience probably. That Tahani gets a pet. I think the name of the pet was the Neednoggle. Neednoggle. I didn't Google that one, though. Chidi stressed. Creates an illusion. So it's like this is like being in a surreal painting, like a Diane von Fostenberg print. So it's really disorienting for everybody. So the judge creates an illusion. Yeah, our prowlant realtor to normal IHOP. Augment, that looks like, it does look like augment, it doesn't look like reality, but she augments the reality to a normal IHOP. It looks like a cogent realtor. Yeah, that would be a good magazine. Well, magazines you subscribe to, whatever it was, lame contest magazine, weird contest magazine, and cogent realtor. Oh, are you a realtor? No, I don't even know what cogent means. I have a general guess, but it only comes out one issue a decade anyway, so I'm still waiting for it. Here at Green Key Realty, we have cogent realtors. I'm the cogent realtor. Once I look up cogent, I'll figure out a joke to put in here. To normal IHOP, and Neednoggle is turned into a scarf. It's still the Neednoggle, just an illusion that it's a scarf. Neednoggles are very cute. She sits down. Michael does a presentation. Life is back in Trek's sport coat. Oh, he's back in his tie and sport coat. T-I-E-X currently means tie. Okay, let's see. 434, you're supposed to pause for tambour. Let's go back here because it's already way ahead of me. About 434 in the episode because, again, I'm not exactly. Let's see. Oh, that's 5 minutes. So this is a scene where Michael's talking to the judge. Judge is sitting. He's got a plaid kind of sport coat print. Everyone else is in different outfits other than Chidi, I believe. Oh, here we go. It was a behind-the-scenes note. I guess I wasn't supposed to read it. I was supposed to go here so I can read this readout for Doug Lerpiss. Green Lantern symbol with some sort of Space Invader symbol -41. Just in case you want to look up his other numbers are 987-263-55-6134-237-6656-YUG, Yug. And let's see what Doug did. Purchased one Gardener's Delight tomato from a food and stuff grocery store. This was in Snarling, Indiana, USA, April 9th, 2009, 4:18:18 local time. Is that 4 a.m.? Doug, buddy, you got to get yourself going to the grocery store. -12.368 attributed point total. Which, if you're a tomato fan, this could be hard. Top relevant point additions. Purchase of nominally healthy foodstuff. +3.019. Intention to make salad for a family. +2.222228. A volunteer to go to the store instead of his cousin. It's only +0.06616. I'm calling foul on that. Volunteering to go to the store should be like a definitely positive many points. Relevant point subtractions, though. You know, where the tomato was grown and how it was grown. Deduction includes both use of stuff to do it, surrounding farmlands, Louisa Imogene. This is a CF account. Louisa Imogene. Waylon regarding ripple effects and with regard to rainwater runoff. This is -8.313. Labor force. You can check the accounts of Lars and Erica with regards to migrant laborers, treatment. Also, especially Erica's presentation, how do we calculate the effects of farm labor when the farmers essentially don't have any options? That's from Baramy, number 211, GG1, ETPPPP10. Total rolls in at -6.3198. Then that it was shipped using fuel-inefficient vehicles. That's negative, like the NBC sign again, negative something. So that's that was that. That's why I was supposed to pause for Thurber. I don't know if James Thurber's calling into the podcast. Also, started looking in the background a little bit. There's an old-time radio in the background. Maya Rudolph says to Michael, your big revelation is life is complicated. That's like something from a throw pillow. Do the research if you're going to buy a tomato. Michael's stuck, so he flosses. And he says, well, the backpack kid dance makes people happy. Chidi tries to quote Jean-Paul Sartre. Jason says, boring, I got this. And he tells a story about Big Noodle being late to rehearsal and then a swamp flood at his house. Four grandparents sharing the same way. Again, worth a rewatch just for Jason seeing Willy Wonka. I'm not even kidding. It's probably worth two or three rewatches. Also, you're going to be catching more and more stuff in the background. There's I'll have notes up here. Everyone's amazed. He says, you can't judge humans. Zappy, zappy, marble, marble. Judge is going to Earth. She goes to, she's going to start in Mexico, and then she's back really fast. She says, woof, and something else. I can't read my, regala. What other words would you say it was? Sheesh, rough. Oh, it's rough, y'all. Oh, she says, C-R-A-P, y'all. She went to Tanzania, Paraguay, Vietnam, and Denmark. Always, you know, rough in a different way. Also, sale on an outlet mall in Michigan for the deals. Say, why would you go there? And Friday after Thanksgiving, she rubs her hands, I think. Or no, she's rubbing her feet. That was really a note that I just stuck with me, even though I couldn't read my writing, of the brilliance that she returns to Earth, and the first thing she does is rub her feet. She says, it's hot and crowded on Earth, yet somehow cold and lonely. They said, you're singing my song. That's when I started to notice stuff in the background, too. There's pancakes on tables stacked up. WTF, instead of, I think there's syrup, but then there's also a glowing green and pink, hot pink and hot green or neon green slime in the, with the syrup in syrup containers. They talk about this chicken sandwich conundrum. Chidi's choice theory, you know, because Chidi could never make a decision, and the judge says, you're nobody's problem. Then they send Sean in to have a discussion among everybody, and he's discussing the plot of the Entourage movie. He was using that on William Shakespeare. That was cool. Then the judge says, let's relocate to another scene. So they head off to a conference room. Humans might be average better, just a little bit better than the smidge, something better. Sean says, what about Limp Bizkit? The judge says, you got a point. I'll just tell you this factoid now that is so sweet. It's Limp Bizkit's from Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville. So that's cool. I mean, that's just so sweet. It doesn't get, that's when life, you can't get any better than that. People are trying. John says at some point, he says he doesn't care. Full stop, end of story. But then they use the Soul Squad as an example. Why did they get better? It was a fluke. Actually, didn't even track the point totals, Michael. Chidi tries to stand up and make a point, and he falls, you know, because they're actually, this is just an illusion, right? So they're over there in the IHOP dimension, and so Chidi kind of goes through a portal or something, shrinks down, starts shooting across the room. Just right when you need a little punch-up, they say, Chidi, anybody got eyes on Chidi? Elmer says, grab my tiny boyfriend. And Chidi comes back. He says, I've been to like a trillion different realities, folding onto one another like sheets of metal, forming a single blade. And they say, that's a time knife. I couldn't find any, well, we'll talk about it in there. Michael goes, yeah, it's just a time knife. That's what we call it. Chidi goes, I saw the time knife. Again, the acting is just so good. Michael is right. No variables. This is Eleanor's point, you know, I think, that, you know, and I disagreed, though. I don't think this is a positive thing. She said, yeah, there wasn't any variables that make life on Earth hard, like paying rent and stuff. But then they also go to a callback to Simone's data collection, which I thought was a good, I don't know, it was someone who tried to figure out how to do this. I liked that callback. And then they say, we're going to get new people, which I put a big WTF just because it's like, holy cliffhanger. I mean, we still have one episode left, but, you know, how am I going to contain myself? Is there going to be four more cast members here? Or what are they like? There's just so many creative choices they can make. It's just how they manage, again, to keep making the show fresh after three seasons. Use a tribute to the creators and everybody that works on this show. New people, could be proof. Where are we going to do it? Because we can't do it in the good place or the bad place. And they say, Eleanor says, I got an idea. So this episode has everything. Mindy St. Clair shows up. Can we do it in your backyard? And she says, for what, I don't care. You know, just classic Mindy St. Clair. Here's another reason, again, to rewatch it. I didn't write down the time, but do yourself a favor. I put, watch, I mean, just rewatch this whole episode, maybe in slow motion, around with 12 minutes when you're skipping the commercials. But Mindy St. Clair has this painting above her fireplace that is just beyond unbelievable. I can try to describe it to you, but it won't do it justice. It looks like a young Billy Idol or a blonde-haired, who's that super handsome dude that everybody loves from, why can't I think, I have his name on the next page. Okay, amazing, like a young Billy Idol or Ryan Gosling in kind of like a surfer bra, like with a surfer bra look, but then either on the shoulder, this is a painting above a fireplace, is on the shoulder of the, here's something for Ryan Gosling to think about. Well, first of all, does Billy Idol have any autobiography? And we could just do a fiction. We could work together, Goss. Also, can I call you Goss? What about you playing young Billy Idol? I mean, again, we'd probably, I don't know, but with a pair to McCaw on his shoulder. And Mindy says, leave me out of it. If you need to talk to anybody, talk to Derek. And she kind of leans into that on Janet. And then Jason gets to find out who Derek is. She says, he's my rebound son. And then she's like, Derek didn't work right. And then I couldn't track this quote down, so I didn't know how many layers of brilliance the writers, you know, probably a few steps ahead of me. How should he love thee? For how? Something, who would not leave him? He said he's quoting Poe, Derek, which he could have been. I just wasn't able to track it down because I didn't know if it was like actually something else. Because I'm like, oh, it's a little bit like Emily Browning. Yeah, so I didn't know if it was Poe or Shakespeare or something else. Derek's also in a tux with a martini. He's been rebooted about 500,000 times. Each time he gets a little bit smarter. And also, you know, Derek's within the Paul Scheer Venn diagram, you know, layovers with the Paul Scheer Venn diagram that we talked about last week. Michael's going to design, oh, they go over the rules, Judge Michael and Sean. Michael's going to design the neighborhood. Bad place gets to pick the humans, but they have to be the same general badness. So no boy band managers. It's funny, Derek and Janet are sitting in this meeting. Michael can adjust the neighborhood. An issue. Where do we get? Oh, where are we going to get the residents? This is when Derek shows up. He says, would anyone want a medium snack? He is a fancy martini, he calls him, or something. It's just a glass of olives. I wonder if there's behind the scenes shots of this, like what are they called? The cast cracking up. One year they get a Janet. This looks like I said BADAAS. No cheating. Oh, Janet babies. Janet says, I'll make the residents. No cheating. Sean uses a hand buzzer on Michael and Derek. And then Michael and Janet start building. They're going to start basic. It seems like it's very similar to Michael's neighborhood. And Michael goes, well, how many ideas? This is a really nice moment. Really, really. Michael says, how many ideas you got, Janet? She goes, 11 trillion. And he goes, in genuine way, he goes, I'm so glad you're here. And she says, yeah, me too. Really, I don't know, this complicated wholesomeness. I don't know how else to describe it. A real emotional resonance that the acting and the writing are able to carry. First up is a cafe, restaurant name here. So basic, Michael says, and he laughs. Much of it is like the old Good Bad Place. Then Eleanor and Chidi. Oh, right. Eleanor's old house. And Chidi says, why would you want to live here? She goes, well, this is the place we fell in love. So, of course, I want to live here. And they talk about, he says, I love you too. And then they kind of talk about how they're going to get to be like a normal couple, which was also very cute. Michael's in a nice suit, but it's not with a bow tie. It's with a long tie. This is in the new media testing place or whatever. The new faux good place. Long tie. Jason's there. They're watching Janet create a Daphne. It seems really hard on Janet. She has to put a lot of work into it. A little bit like a laborious. And Derek shows up. He says, if I help, it could be done in two shakes of a lamb's tail. Classy, mature. Oh, classy martini. He just has a glass with a lemon in it. You know, Jason's uncertain. So I guess it's good that they're offering us, like, probably maybe, and yeah, I don't want to talk speculate, but, you know, as Jason and Janet get closer together, then Derek's here to kind of stir stuff up. So maybe, well, let's not speculate what's going to happen next episode. Michael's back in the office, and now he has a bow tie on. The judge calls, but it's really Sean cranking him. Likes Michael's idea about be using the word be a lot and flattening things. He has a fake Michael there and a fake Michael suit. Vicky's the one in the suit. Talks about what, you know, the Soul Squad's future. You know, Michael's tie was like a purple watercolor tie, navy polka dot pocket square thing by pop up. Well, there's a pop-up on the wall that has a wake-up time for the first arrival to a good place. Yeah, with a countdown. Michael's looking over like a dot matrix printout, like a two-tone one with the green and the white, so maybe it's easier to read. I don't know. Eleanor shows up. How you doing? And Michael says, a little jittery. Yeah, plums are for wimps. What does that mean? Oh, Eleanor, this is very similar to me. Eleanor and I are very similar people. She goes, plans are for wimps. I don't say that, but... She goes, let's do this shell strap style, which is the way I did it. That's the way I did it too, which is basically fake it and don't barely make it. Because it was like one way I found it. There were times I could take a test and still get a D without doing anything or a C. It wasn't a great time, you know, but it was shell straps. I didn't know it was called shell strap style. It was called, I'm taking a loan out for this style. Eleanor peeks out at the person who's out there, 648-119. Or no, that's the plan they're going to enact. Eleanor says, dude, relax. Your plan will be great. Your friends will always trust you. And this is another rug that's kind of always under Michael that we're wondering when it's going to be pulled out at different times. You know, this idea of like all of them loving one another. And what happens when you trust people and you let them down. I also wondered about Eleanor's entrance and exit method. Didn't see how she entered because the human or the or new arrivals in the waiting room. And we still get one more thing, which I think offers unbelievable creative potential for the next episode, which is Michael says, here I go. And I'm gone, Michael says. And then he says, I can't do it. I can't go out there. You know, it's too much stakes. The person says, hello. And the person, Michael says, I can't do it. And then there's a zoom on Eleanor's face, like as she tries to figure out what to do. And with that, the episode came to a conclusion. Okay, so let's see. I'm running through here. She sees the time knife. Okay, so steampunk, well, this wasn't steampunk, and we've kind of covered steampunk on there. Yeah, you thought we'd talk about a little bit about steampunk novels. I got a couple of different articles here. This one's from Bustle. It's from July 26, 2016, by Sean Fitzpatrick. 8 steampunk novels every reader will love. Sean kind of talking about being in a coffee shop that had a lot of steampunk style, antique stuff. They said steampunk might always be cool. For those who aren't familiar with the term, steampunk is a subgenre of science fiction or fantasy that takes place in a world powered by 19th century machinery. Kind of like an alternative historical environment. Victorian England is popular. Futuristic ideas, old-fashioned technologies, like the Disney animated movie Atlantis or the novel 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. You might have seen people in like a Victorian gown with futuristic stuff at cons before. Might not be for everyone, but Sean's always loved the aesthetic and has looked for stuff. And here's some steampunk novels. So number one, The Golden Compass by Philip Pullman. Cool, I didn't know that. Infernal Devices by K.W. Jester. I read this book. It definitely needed someone to read it with me, which I didn't do. And this is supposed to be one of the first steampunk novels, not written by Jules Verne. Soul Squadless by Gail Carriger. This looks interesting too. Supernatural stuff. Something hired by Queen Victoria. Mortal Engines by Philip Reeves, which is a movie that either came out or is about to come out. So you may have seen the things. Cities attach themselves in wheels and engines and move around Earth looking for resources. Leviathan. I don't know if I've read this one. Steampunkified WW1 era Europe. No, I don't think so. So that sounds cool too. The Glass Books of the Dream Consumers by Gordon Dahlquist. Miss Temple's Fiance. Sorry, I don't want to read too much about him, but these are all great. Like, I'll link to the thing. Mansion. Especially because it's like not everything you can read. Automatic Woman by Nathan Yoakum. Let's see, Swan Lake, bit of a mystery. The Invention of Hugo Cabret by Brian Selznick. This is a Caldecott Award winner. A Paris Train Station, Fixing Clocks. Automaton. So that's cool. So those are some. And then over here, oh, maybe I'll be wrong. This is steampunkworkshop.com. Nine novels that defined steampunk. This is by Jonathan Gray Shade. And let's see if there's any of these. Gears of Brass, a steampunk anthology. The Difference Engine by William Gibson and Bruce Sterling. I read that a long time ago. Agency by William Gibson. The Anibus Gates by Tim Powers. Morlock Knight, I read that one. That's like part two of, I'm pretty sure that was the one. That's part two of A Journey to the Center of the Earth. Or, you know, an imaginary one. Tim Powers, Alternate Roots, Infernal Devices, Mortal Engines Book 3. So maybe that was an automated list. Let's see. Yeah, that was, okay, so that was like Morlock Knights, which came out in 79, Anibus Gates, 83, Homunculus by James Blaylock. I think I read another book by Blaylock. That one came out in 86. Infernal Devices. That was by K.W. Jeter as well. I think I mentioned that. Then in the 90s, The Difference Engine. Lord Kelvin's Machine by James Blaylock. Then Michael Morlock. It was proto-steampunk, Warlords of the Air, The Land Leviathan, and The Steel Tsar, right, Tsar. Then it kind of goes, oh, so that's the end of it. So it's another cool list of, you know, if you're looking for something to read that's a little bit, you know, different, but recommended, check some of those books out. The other thing that Pipes remind me of, and I think I've talked about this on the show, was a show that was on called Steam Pipe Alley with the great Mario Cantone. It was a children's television production from WWOR TV. I think it probably ran on WPIX for me, but it was on the air from 88 to 93, which meant I shouldn't have been watching it because I was too old. I guess I was in eighth grade, but Mario Cantone, Ted Malley, and each episode had celebrity guests, recurring segments, comedy sketches, games. It was kind of like a local TV show with a little bit broader reach. It had Looney Tunes and Max Fleischer cartoons. The series was written by Judy Ketchuk, Rick Derman, senior producer. Cantone played, like what I liked best is that Cantone kind of was really showing range. He played Julia Children, who was like Julia Childs, Joe Rivers, a comedian, the brother of Joan Rivers, Pavarotti, kind of like, and that one doesn't sound very good, Chow Aldo in Prop Fragrances, Ted Ringer, Frankie D, who was like Sinatra, Richie Morales, Sammy Jr., Rex Can Read, a parody of Rex Reed, and Angelo Antonelli. They had a segment in the sewer, Dream Date Game, Where in the World, Steam Pipe Theater, Cecil B. DeMario, Something to Think About, Cream the Teacher, where they're throwing pies at their teacher. A lot of other stuff. A National Gallery of Excuses. Mystery Guest. Brain Drain. A little bit like Double Dare. So just a show I really, I don't know. I just always had a soft spot for it. Let's see. What's next? Oh, this one is a really, this is universetoday.com, which is a space and astronomy news site. This article is from December 10th, 2014, by Matt Williams, A Universe in 10 Dimensions. When someone says different dimensions, we think of them like parallel universes, alternate realities. However, the reality dimensions and how they play a role in the ordering of our universe is quite different than that characterization. To break it down, dimensions are different facets of what we perceive to be reality. We're immediately aware of the three dimensions that surround us on a daily basis and that define the length, width, and depth of objects in our universes on the X, Y, and Z axes. Beyond these visible dimensions, scientists believe that there are maybe many more. In fact, within the theoretical framework of the superstring theory, we exist in 10 different dimensions. I don't know if we do. That's my ego talking. Let's run through what they have here on Universe Today. First dimension is that which gives it length, the x-axis, axis, which is a straight line, exists only in terms of length, and has no other discernible qualities. When you add the second dimension, the y-axis, or height, you can get a two-dimensional shape like a square. Third dimension involves the z-axis of depth, which gives a sense of area and cross-section. The fourth dimension is time, which governs the properties of all known matter at any given point. Knowing an object or position in time is essential to plotting its position in the universe. So other dimensions are, the other dimensions are where deeper possibilities come into play. According to superstring theory, fifth and sixth are where notions of possible worlds arise. If we could see them through the fifth dimension, we would see a world slightly different from our own. and that would give us the means of measuring a similarity and differences between our world and other ones. In the sixth dimension, we see a plane of possible worlds where we could compare and position all the possible universes that start with the same initial conditions, the Big Bang. In theory, if you could master the fifth and sixth dimensions, you could travel between all of them, maybe. Oh, here's a seventh dimension would be possible worlds that start with the different initial conditions. So that would be cool. That would be wow. The eighth dimension gives us a plane of such possible universe histories, each of which begins with different initial conditions and branches out indefinitely. So infinity, say. In the ninth, we can compare all possible universe histories with all the different possible laws of physics and initial conditions. And in the 10th dimension, it's the point in which everything possible and imaginable is covered. Beyond this, nothing can be imagined by mortals, which makes it the limitation of what we can conceive in terms of dimensions. The existence of six dimensions, which we cannot perceive, is necessary for string theory. In order for there to be consistency in nature. The fact that we can only perceive four dimensions of space is explained by two mechanisms. Either the extra dimensions are compactified on a small scale, or else our world may live on a three-dimensional submanifold corresponding to a BRA and E, on which all known particles beside gravity would be restricted. If the extra dimensions are compactified, then the extra six dimensions must be, this might be where this is a knife thing, Calabi-Yau manifold, while imperceptible to our senses, they would have governed the formation of the universe from the very beginning. And that's why it goes on to like this is like other candidates for the grand unifying theory or like the great podcast theory of everything. The belief that the universe is made up of 10 dimensions is an attempt to reconcile the standard model of particle physics with the existence of gravity. In short, it's an attempt to explain how all known forces within our universe interact and how other forces themselves might work. And that's so I'll link to that in a nice little article there. Okay, what about Diane Fossenberg? Let's see, Belgian-American fashion designer, best known for Wrap Dress, WRAP, rose to prominence when she married into the House of Fossenberg in Germany as the wife of Prince Egon von Fossenberg, also a Ghostbuster. Oh, no, somebody's telling me, my brain's saying it's not... Her fashion company, Diane von Fossenberg, or DVF, is available in over 70 countries, 45 freestanding shops, headquarters in the flagship boutique are in Manhattan. She's president of the Council of Fashion Designers of America, 68th most powerful woman in the world, according to some magazine. Let's see what else we need to know. 74 is when she introduces the knitted jersey wrap dress, an example of which, due to its influence on women's fashion, is the centerpiece of the Costume Institute at the MoMA. After the success of the wrap dress, she was featured in magazines, big time. Her popularity really started to grow. Been a really amazing business person. Let's see what else. 2009, Michelle Obama wore the DVF signature chain link print wrap dress on the White House Christmas card. In 2010, von Fossenberg was awarded a gold medal at the Gold Medal Gala. 2012, first children's collection. She's a philanthropist and director of the Diller von Fossenberg Family Foundation. Let's see, anything else? Nothing there, but I did find this great article on Vogue.com. It's from 2013 because I just want to find out more. And I don't know if it was 2013 or 2014 because the joke is about 2013 that Tahani made. But this is Vogue Runway about the 2013 Diane von Fossenberg Ready to Wear collection. Articles written September 8th, 2012 by Nicole Phelps. Quote, some fairy tales end with the girl marrying the prince, some start there. So read the quote at the top of the notes for the spring show, which was dubbed Palazzo. You can see where this is going. The girl in question is no other than von Fostenberg herself. She's led quite a life. Today it yielded a collection that was colorful, confident, and keyed into some of this fashion moment's big trends. These days, you know, von Fostenberg sits on a huge business enterprise. What this outing did was tap into the designer's bohemian spirit, pearl studding, bright color blocking. With their pearl studding and bright color blocking, boardroom suits, these were not. And to remind us, she's a venturous soul. She's always been. Von Fostenberg partnered with Google to do a show of behind-the-scenes film for Google Glass. And like some of her models, she wore them down the runway. So that's just a little bit. I'll link to that article. It didn't say anything about the prints, but you could see some of the prints in the slideshow that I'm linking to. And you say, okay, I see where they're coming from, I think. I don't know that much about fashion. Okay, let's get to, there's a lot of other stuff I'm going to link to in the notes, but let's just go from Maya Rudolph. From the Groundlings, shout out to my friend Annie, who's in if you're in the LA, go to a Groundlings show. Maya Rudolph was also a member of the alternative rock band The Rentals, then joined the Groundlings, then was cast in Saturday Night Live. And then became a movie star. There's a lot of movies you recognize her from, particularly Bridesmaids, which she shined in. Let's see. She's done her own shows. She's currently on The Good Place. Rudolph was born in Gainesville, Florida. Let's see what else. Saturday Night Live. Started in the 99-2000 series season, sort of she met her Will Forte, who was talking about, you know, my forte is Rudolph and Forte. They quickly used her musical talents, so because she could sing and do Prince and Beyonce. She also was able to play characters of both genders, including Mario Vasquez, Scott Joplin, Justin Guarini. Oh, he was, I think he was on America's Idol, whatever, American Idol. Let's see what else. She returned to the show. Her last episode was in 2007, but she came back and played Michelle Obama and sang with to Amy Poehler's a story about Amy Poehler's new baby. She was also in the 2008 Christmas special, that did her sketch show Bronx Beat with Amy Poehler. She was in a few sketches in a 2008-2009 season with Will Ferrell. She played Oprah Winfrey, on a sketch in 2009-2010. Let's see. She's a guest host, for the season 36 premiere hosted by Amy Poehler. She returned to that. She should have been. She also returned for the season 36 premiere to be again. That was hosted by Amy Poehler. Again in 2015 for a Christmas episode with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Oh, and then the 41st season finale, which was hosted by Fred Armisen. So really, I don't know, just an amazing, amazing comedian. Like I said, let's just read about the music because I did not know that. Prior to joining SNL, Rudolph was a backup singer and briefly keyboardist in the band The Rentals, with whom she toured for a short time. She was in their music videos for their songs Waiting and Please Let That Be You. She sang backing vocals for Barcelona and My Head Is in the Sun. Let's see. She did a cover of Tegan and Sara's Not Tonight. Maya Rudolph also performed in Together Is in Pooping and Little. Another song with Triumph, The Dog. And she's in a Prince cover band called Princess with her friend Gretchen. I don't know. I just really, really looked for it. Anytime I find out she's in a project, I really look forward to it. And then I didn't know about this, I don't think. So I don't know. Just carries a lot of things. I'm going to link to a bunch of other things, but let's just touch on Limp Bizkit, B-I-Z-K-I-T. They're a rap rock band from Jacksonville, Florida. Fred Durst, Sam Rivers, John Otto, and DJ Turntables, Wes Borland. Borland, I guess, has an elaborate... This is one of those bands that became, like I said... This was a long time ago, and I said, man, I'm out of touch. Suddenly they were super popular, I guess because I don't listen to the radio. And I was like, what the heck? They were one of the biggest things in the world. And I'm sure they're just still doing, I just don't know. Let me see when they hit their peak, though, because that would have been when I was like, what? Looks like the early aughts or like the end of the 90s. So I was already out of touch then. I think the right at the switch of the year, switch of that, they're just super popular. And see if they're still touring here. It looks like they had a reunion in 2009 to 2011. 2012 to the present. They're at Cash Money Records. In 2012, they toured Australia. So just a little bit. I couldn't believe they were from Jacksonville. I guess that was the main thing. I was like, holy cow. Oh, I see Wes Borland. Yeah, he's totally in dress, very Kiss-esque. Again, something I just didn't know about. And it was just my fault because I'm out of touch. Let's close it out one more note, though. Here's a poem by Poe. But I don't think it's a poem, but I thought it was good because it's the name of the poem is A Dream Within a Dream by Edgar Allan Poe. Take a kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, thus much let me avow. You are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. Yet if hope has flown away in night or in a day, in a vision or in none, is it therefore the lust gone? All we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep, while I weep, while I weep. Oh God, can I not grasp them with a tighter clasp? Oh God, can I not save one from the pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream? That's Edgar Allan Poe. That's a good place to go out. Here's some thank yous and some good nights. Thanks, everybody. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. Gamma, CLAWS from the UK. Couldn't be more grateful. A couple of months ago, I was dealing with tough stuff, and when it came to bed, I knew I couldn't sleep. A few weeks prior, a friend recommended this podcast as helping her sleep. So on a desperate whim, I gave it a try and fell asleep within 20 minutes. I never looked back since. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, Scooter, for putting my mind at ease and helping me face every day as rested as possible. Oh, wow. It's really, really my honor. I'm touched to help. SLR 2233 from the UK stops overthinking. Genuinely amazing. Hardly ever get past introduction. I actually haven't listened to more than a couple stories despite having played countless episodes because I fall asleep so quick. Works every time. Thank you, Scooter. LAOD 6468. A miracle. I'm not sure what magic has worked, but I'm totally here for it and it gets me to sleep every time. Then we have a word search person. Well, they said not so good, 1 star. Usually not so good is like 3 stars. I don't mean to quibble. This was terrible for me. I absolutely H-A-T-ed it. The voice was definitely not pleasant. He always stutters. That one was on purpose. Passive aggro stutter there. Doesn't make any sense. Highly don't recommend. Yeah, but we bounce right back with Noah, C123. Love it. Never catch anything past the first 20 minutes. Also, I think the intro sounds like the one from Mystery Science Theater 3000. Well, that's even more of an honor. Remarkably effective. Comes from CBI Cook. Wrestle with chronic pain. And this works better for me than anything else. When I wake up in pain in the middle of the night, I usually send me back to the land and nod fairly quickly. C. Fair Art from Australia says it works. Sends me off to peaceful sleep, no drugs required. Nothing worse than waking up at 2 a.m. and not being able to get back to sleep. Started listening to this and find it very calming. Love the Across the Deep Dark Night. Next thing I know, it's morning. Thank you, Scooter. That comes from Miss Maddie May. Probably best podcast ever. Have trouble falling asleep. And on the first try, I fell asleep before a story even started. Earns 5 stars. Thank you for reading this, Meg. Scoots is a hoot. Have I read these ones before? I don't know. No, I don't think so. This is only from 3 days ago. This is from Cobb Cork in Ireland. Podcast like a sleeping pill. Although I've never actually taken a sleeping pill, it works a treat. Scoots' endearing personality. The only problem is I find myself listening a tad more than I probably should, but I can't help it at times. He's funny, quick, kind, and witty, like a real boar friend, a great boar buddy. I can't sleep without somebody black. All thoughts, interruptions, yet listening to music doesn't work, but this is ideal. Thanks, and let's keep the show going. Floored comes in from Amanda Bell. Says, I was having trouble sleeping last night. I recently started listening to podcasts. So I searched for a sleep podcast because I'm sensitive to hypnosis. I fell asleep during the opening part. I did wake about once, but only for 5 minutes. It's weird because you think you're listening, but I don't think you really are. It's almost impossible to listen to because it's so roundabout with no end. Anyway, I'm an intermediate fan and very thankful for the podcast. I want to thank Christina R., who says, unexpected and oddly miraculous. I was skeptical, but presently surprised. I usually need silence to sleep. I'm the type of person that needs silence to sleep. Can't sleep with the TV on or listening to music, so I didn't think a soothing voice would let me sleep because I'd only want to pay attention to it. I swore it served the opposite purpose, but this nonsensical drunken babble has never failed to put me not only sleep, but deep sleep. I recommend it to everyone in my life, and everyone is just as skeptical as I am. Giving it the chance, shockingly effective. It hasn't failed me once. Thanks, Christina. Nikki, or NYKKI082, says, part of my nightly routine, so grateful. Hooked from day one. Just interesting enough to distract. Thanks, Scoots. Freezer, B to the U to the R to the N, number 7, says, so good. Often have time, trouble getting to sleep, anxious thoughts, racing. Put this podcast on, never make it past the intro. Crazy how it works. 5 stars, I tell everyone about it. Good work to all of you and all your team. So thanks everybody for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. You can do that in Apple Podcasts on your phone or your tablet or on iTunes on your computer. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all of their amazing shows, including at nightvalepresents.com. One show, we talk about Good Night. What about Good Morning? And I'm talking about a Good Morning Night Vale with Meg, Symphony, and Hal. If you haven't listened to Good Morning Night Vale, you definitely should. And if you don't listen to Welcome to Night Vale, you could actually start listening to both at the same time. But Good Morning Night Vale is three amazingly wonderful and super funny and entertaining people, Symphony, Meg, and Hal, talking and running through episodes of Welcome to Night Vale, starting at the beginning of the show. And you can find it wherever you consume your podcasts, Welcome to Night Vale. Also, go ahead and queue up Good Morning Night Vale. Subscribe if you already listen to Welcome to Night Vale. Then if you listen to Welcome to, if you don't, it just got more confusing than I intended. Subscribe to Good Morning Night Vale if you're a regular Welcome to Night Vale listener. If you're not, subscribe to Good Morning Night Vale and Welcome to Night Vale. Start both at the beginning and thank me later. So do that in your podcast apps of choice. We're also a member of PRX. You can see all the wonderful things that they're doing, including, you know, raising new voices in podcasting. So you can see all that at PRX.org. And what else? I think that's it. You know, there's plenty of other episodes here to go. I'm here to help. So, you know, just keep, let the show keep rolling if you need it. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all-intro, all-night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because I put it at the end of the free show too. This is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support@supercast.com. And good night.